Miracles happen every day in the life of the believer. In fact, every time God interrupts the normal flow of the course of events, that can be defined as a miracle. Every time God intervenes behind the scenes and moves by His Spirit to make the life of one of His children a little better, a little happier, or a little easier, that is a miracle. When just the right pieces of the puzzle of life come together at exactly the right time, that is a miracle. God is constantly moving things, next page, around in this world system for our benefit. And every time He alters what would have been by the power of His Spirit, that is a miracle. I'm afraid we travel through so much of life unaware of God's intervention happening consistently about us. Let us be expecting the specific, wonderful, mighty, and manifesting miracle that is so desperately needed. Let us also begin to praise the Lord for the smaller, less visible interruptions of God that can make our daily lives full of joy and simple ease. He is worthy of more praise than we give Him. Truly, I live under the shadow of His wings. Every day, look for the miracles that God has done in your life. From protecting us, leading us, guiding us, miracles in our families, my Lord, what God can't do. Thank Him for what He's done and going to do in your lives. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Amen. If you would, take your Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. I want you to turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. We're going to read this, and then I'm going to get back to this after a little while. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17. Page 1771. A very familiar passage of scriptures, but it's always good to be reminded about what God can do and what God wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as He was teaching there, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Now, just a matter of note, just before we go on, we need the power of the Lord. We need the power of God to move upon our families, to move upon our churches. Here Jesus was, or Paul, just there, and God started to move. Look at this, verse 18. "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before Him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tilling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when He saw their faith, He said unto him, Man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaks these blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But verse 22, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Your sins be forgiven you, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, Arise, take up your couch, and go into your house. And immediately He rose up before them, and took up whereon He lay, and departed to His house, glorifying God." Verse 26. "And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." You see, we're still living in the day of miracles, people. And just as we read in our books today, God is intervening in every aspect of our lives, especially since we gave our lives to Him and accepted Him as Lord and Savior. We are His children, and God is moving upon His children in every aspect, in every way that He can, from giving direction to us, to protecting His people, to doing whatever it takes necessary to draw us closer unto Him. Here we see this man coming with his friends. Jesus here was teaching in the house, and the spirit of healing was upon our Lord and Savior. I mean, he's the healer. He's the great healer. And the crowds, and you know, what's amazing to me is that the crowd, a lot of the crowd that was there were people to try to trip up Jesus. They weren't there for the betterment of the people, but they were there to trip Jesus up somehow, some way. And here we see this guy, they come in or about to come in, and he needed a healing, people. But you know, the first thing Jesus did was not heal his body. The first thing Jesus did was healed his spirit. That is more important to God than a healing of the body. Now, we want healing of our bodies, huh? And I know we need God to move and touch and to help us. But I tell you what, God is in the business of healing people's spirits on the inside, getting things right with Him. That is the most important thing to Him. This man on his couch, four guys with him, wanting to go in, they heard about the miracles that Jesus could do. They heard, and faith rose up within the men. And the love they had for this man that was on that couch and couldn't walk at all. Couldn't walk. Diseased. Paralyzed. And you know what? They got to this place and there were throngs of people around about Jesus. And they looked and they said, "We can't get in." Probably most of us would have said, "Well, if it was the Lord's will," huh? Come on, let's say amen. God would have parted the ways like He parted the Red Sea. And made a way for me to get in there. But God didn't. God didn't. At times, we have to be persistent. We have to be persistent. And you know what? I know it had to be the Holy Spirit put in their minds, one of them, I don't know if it was one of the four guys, I don't know if it was a guy on the couch that they were carrying, to go to the roof. And you know, and at that time, the roofs were flat, and they had access doors to the roof. They climbed up to the top because usually they had stairs on the side that you can climb. They got up there with this guy. Very hard thing to do. But you see, when you're moved with compassion and love for somebody that is sick and diseased, spiritually or physically, see, that's where we need to allow the mercy of God to come out of us. And the mercy that comes out is mixed with love towards people. Not that we accept everything people do as good, but we love them and we want to see God move upon them. And they were persistent to see God, Jesus, which was God in the flesh, walking among them to exhibit the healing power of Almighty God upon this man because they loved him. Every time you get up in the morning or you before you lay your head down to sleep and you lift up people's in your life, you lift them up in prayer. That's a love that you have in your heart and a mercy that you have in your heart, just like Jesus did for those people. The mercy and the grace and the anointing upon our hearts because of what God has done in us and through us. They got on that roof, and you know, the access door was not that wide, and they knew they needed to get him down. It just so happened the access door was right where Jesus was preaching. See, that's not an accident. Oh, my Lord. We serve a miracle-working God, people. There's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. There's nothing too hard that God cannot handle. God can handle all things in a family, people. God can handle all things in a marriage. My God, He can renew it. That's the power of our God. The power of our God. He can bring those wayward children home. Ooh. He can make those crooked places straight again in our lives. As they on that roof, they knew they couldn't get them down, but it did not stop the faith of these men. And they started to, and really it was kind of made of mud. And said, it's not like what we have today. So they started to tear it wider with their hands, whatever they had, because they were not leaving unless their friend, or it might have been even a relative, it could have been a brother, we don't know, was going to be, God bless you, was going to be touched by God. We need to be persistent, people, that we want a touch from God, you see? And all of a sudden, as they tearing the hole bigger in the house, probably the owner was looking up and saying, oh my God, they're tearing a bigger hole in my roof. How much is going to cost me to repair this thing, you know? And as they tore it up, they didn't know what was happening, you see? But you see, our God knew, Jesus knew what was going on in their lives. He knew faith had risen up and they were going to get from the Lord Jesus Christ what they came for. And no man was going to stop them. Ooh. You need to not let any man stop you in your relationship to the Lord. And when I say man, I mean mankind of any kind. We need to be persistent to go on and do what God wants us to do. And as they tore the hole in that roof bigger than before, and they took their strength of their bodies and they let him down right in front of Jesus. The first thing Jesus said was, your sins are forgiven. That man on that couch was saved. The power of Almighty God. You see, that's what we need. We need the saving power of our God to forgive us of our sins. Thank you, Lord. You might say, well, Pastor, do we live a sinless life? No. But I tell you what, as we put our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, Jesus paid the price on the cross for us, that we could have victory over sin and evil of this world. And as they came down, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. And all of a sudden, the eyes of the Pharisees, Sadducees, and every other one of them came out at Jesus. It's a spirit coming out to Jesus. They wanted to devour Jesus. They said, how dare, in their minds, or maybe whispering to one another, how dare he say his sins are forgiven when only God can do it? They didn't realize that God in the flesh was standing right before them. And he said, okay, Jesus knew. He said, I just want to let y'all know. I'm gonna pray over him and he's going to be healed. I'm going to do it just because. And all of a sudden, Jesus speaks healing to this man. And all of a sudden, he's healed. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It says in the scripture that Jesus is the great healer, my Lord. And he healed this man. And Jesus tells him, basically, take up your bed, go home, and glorify God. You see, we go through all kinds of things in life. Some things hurt our bodies. Some things hurt our spirits. I bet you every one of you are walking around with some kind of wound in your spirit. I know it. I can't see it. We can see the physical hurts, you know, from a body that's been hurt, cut, whatever. But I tell you what, it's only God that can bring healing to that man on the inside. Only him. We can go to every person in the world and try to get counseling. And maybe they might be able to help a little bit, but that man or that woman can't reach down with their hand and into your spirit and heal. But I know the Maker who can, that can come by the Spirit of God into the spirit man of every individual and heal what needs to be healed. Ooh. He healed this man in his spirit and he healed this man in his physical body because of the love and the mercy of God upon his life. Don't you think faith rose up in those guys that brought him in there? They were looking for healing. They didn't know if they'd get it. They heard about what Jesus had done and how he healed many people and what had happened in throughout the land. But they didn't know for sure, but they believed that God or Jesus could do it. That's the power of our God. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12, page 1994. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your spirit. This scripture was written in the book of Romans. I mean, we're in Romans. This scripture was written by the Apostle Paul. Remember Paul? His name used to be Saul. God done a miraculous thing in his life. He wasn't one of the 12 disciples either, or 13 if you want to say it that way, because one messed up, you know, whatever. You know, and God still would have, you know, we're talking about, let's say Judas that messed up. If he would have asked for forgiveness, it would have been rewarded to him. You know what Judas did at the end of his life? It says that he went to a cliff and they hung him. Well, he hung there from off the a tree there. And after he died, he stayed there a while, and all of a sudden the ropes broke and he hit the ground. He died. He hung himself, basically, if you want to say it that way. What a tragedy, people. Remember this. God is so merciful. No one has done anything that God cannot forgive. Judas did something not good, but God still would have healed him and helped him. Don't ever look in that direction of doing something to yourself that's not good. You know, you get the drift? Don't do it. Don't cross that line. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't know how hurt I am. I understand. You don't know how much pain I'm in. I understand. Things get rough, but don't ever cross that line. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Call upon the Lord. And let me tell you, call friends too after and ask God to help. Don't cross that line of committing suicide at all. Don't even let that thought go through your mind. You might say, well, what do I do? You stop it. God says to think on things that are pure, holy, true, just, of good report. Let those things flow through and say, I reject those things. Because I tell you what, we all know people that have done that, huh? How much hurt does it hurt if it's a young person, the mother or the father, or if they married, hurts their spouse? And how much hurt is there for their children? How much hurt is there for the aunts and uncles and the cousins and the grandmothers and grandfathers? It hurts. It hurts. And if without God coming and healing, no telling what will happen next. So you see, we never cross that line, huh? At all. God says, I've come to give you life and to have it more abundantly. That's what he wants you to have. Life. Live life. Don't get cooped up in your home and do nothing. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to stay in my home right now. I understand. With all this heat, who wants to go outside and bake? You know, it's just hot. But sometimes you have to, huh, Brody? For work. Sometimes we got to go out there. It's just hot. I know it. But you do it because you love your family and you want to supply for your family. Thank you, fathers and mothers that work so hard. Thank you for all that you do. Romans 12:2-12 says this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 12:12, the whole book of Romans was written to the Roman church in Rome. It was written by the Apostle Paul, and this he was writing from the city of Corinth, and he wrote this book approximately 20 or so years after Jesus' death. He said this, rejoicing in hope. God gives hope. And I think people get so desperate, so hard on themselves that they even think about crossing that line. But you see, God gives hope where there's no hope. God gives hope to the hopeless. He gives us hope. Look, and you can raise your hands for this. How many times did you call upon God and he came through for you? My Lord, huh? How many times that we look down, if you want to say, the bowl of life, and we're thinking there's no hope, and we call upon God, and God comes through for us and gives us a hope like we never thought before. Though scripture says, and he's writing to Christians, huh? That means the church. That means us too, because it's been pinned down for us. He's saying, rejoicing in hope. We have a hope on the inside of us that can overwhelm the world. They don't know how we can stand when all the evils of the world and things are happening in our families and in our lives, because we don't trust in the events of things. We trust in the God that gives hope and the God who died upon Calvary's cross. My God, my Lord, what a God we serve. Rejoicing in that hope. It says that it should have been written this way. You can see it in your Bible. That it says instead of rejoicing in hope, it should have been rejoicing in the sphere of hope. When earthly prospects are dim, the Christian rejoicing should be of hope that the Lord will send deliverance and will take care of his child. Yes, Lord. And look, we've all been in a place of dim, huh? That God will send hope. We rejoice in the hope that God has given us. And he will give us hope where there's no hope. Just like he gave hope to the guy that needed a healing. He met the need. God will meet your need, people. No matter what's happening in your life, God will meet your need. All God is looking for us is to humble ourselves before him. Rejoice in the hope that he had. He's saying, church, rejoice no matter what. Even when it looks dim and it can't go on anymore, God says, look to me and I will make a way where there seems to be no way. My Lord, he'll speak, that still small voice of the Holy Ghost will speak to your heart and soul and give you a hope to live for. Give you a vision to go and do what he calls you to do. My Lord, my Lord. The body of Christ is such messed up people. We have messed up pastors too. Messed up. But if it wasn't for the grace of God, my Lord, where would we be? Because God has given mercy and grace upon us and given us something to live for. My Lord. The definition of hope is a confident, joyful expectation and the certainty of what God has promised he will fulfill. You can take this word and you can bank on it, people. You can bank on it. When you read about whatever in this word, you can bank on it. It will happen. You can walk around with this word and you can quote it and you can believe it because what he said he will do, he will do. God is a man of his word and we can believe it and because he knows what he's doing. My Lord. It says in Genesis 15:6 that Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him as righteousness. My Lord, all Abraham did was just believe God, rejoicing in the hope that is in us, our hope. Even when things don't look good, we still have hope, huh? It says the enemy comes to shift us like wheat on the inside. He tries to rattle you and I. Sometimes he succeeds, but sometimes he doesn't. And even when he succeeds, we still fall on our face before God and we ask for forgiveness and we still win. Oh, my Lord, we win all the time. You might say, well, I didn't win that battle, but you're serving the God that is the author and finisher of everything, that has won the greatest battle of all by dying on Calvary's cross and giving of his life for us. Look at this. It says, patient in tribulation. Now, who wants to be patient in tribulation and who even wants tribulation? I don't run to it, but it will come. Tribulation. You know what tribulation is? It refers to severe trials, affliction, or distress. Oppressing together, pressure, oppression, affliction, tribulation, distress. My Lord. But he says this, he first says this, patient in tribulation. Patient means to remain under. Listen to this. That is to remain under the test in a God-honoring manner. Not seeking to escape it, but eager to learn the lessons it was sent to teach. We know this. We're all going to go through things. He says to run it with patience, tribulation. Some things come at us from the arrow of the enemy himself. Some things come at us because we may have done something that allowed it to come in. In all cases, God is seeking for us to learn what we need to learn. You can't run from it. Don't run. Something comes your way, you just stand there and say, okay, now, Lord, what do you want me to learn? And you get your eyes fastened upon him, and you ask him to move upon that situation. And in the meantime, as he's moving on that situation, he's moving in your heart and changing us. And that's what we want, because we all want to be more like him than ever before. We know this, that either he caused it or allowed it. No matter what. The believer, remember this, belongs to Christ and is in God's economy and as such are protected, guided, led, and instructed by the Holy Spirit. We're not just out here, people. No, We're not just walking around saying God every once in a while, you know. No. We are children of the Most High God. Now, you know, you may not feel like tomorrow morning when you wake up like you're the child of the Most High God. You may not feel like it. But as I've often said, we don't walk by feelings. We walk by faith in the Son of God, in who He is and what His Word says, that we have been called by Him. And also continuing instant in prayer. Interesting. This proclaims the privilege of the child of God of being able to speak on a constant basis to the Creator of all things. Interesting. Can you imagine? To be devoted to Him, to wait on Him continually. We should pray about everything continually and be quick to do so. Every day, people, we need to be quick to go to the Lord quickly. Something happens. Look, things happen, huh? Things happen. Whatever it may be, when something happens, go to God quickly. Don't wait. You might be just under your breath saying, Lord, I give it to you, no matter what it is, this situation. That means, this is what it means. When you say, Lord, I give it to you, is going from your hand. This is your hand in my hand. Now, I'm not saying I'm God, but this is God's hand. Okay. So when you say, Lord, I give it to you, you're transferring it to this hand. And you're saying, God, handle it. Look, when you put things in the hands of God, He moves upon that situation. He moves upon it and makes things happen. No matter what's going on, as you put it into the hands of God, He takes it and He does whatever needs to happen. Now, a lot of times as it's in His hands, He's working in our hearts. It's in His hand, but He's working in our hearts. Because you see, it's a heart thing that God is trying to get right with Him in us. It's a heart thing. Not that we have sin of evil, whatever, you know, whatever. But that it's just things that He needs to heal and move and do within us. That needs healing by the power of Almighty God. That salve of healing that needs to take place on the inside of us. From our hand to His hand as we pray. Yes, Satan will fight the prayer life of the believer as he fights nothing else, people. Let me tell you this. The enemy does not want you to pray. He doesn't. He was defeated at Calvary's cross. And we take that on. Thank you, Lord. But as we pray and seek God, He's defeated here in us. My Lord. Listen to this. Prayer is the strength of the believer. When you gave your life to the Lord, He came and now through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead lives in you. You are a believer in Christ. You believe what the Word says. You believe that Jesus died on the cross. You believe that He rose from the grave. You believe the miracles and the power of Almighty God in that word. And you've seen God's hand move upon this generation in your own personal lives, in the lives of your spouse, in the lives of your children. You've seen the power of God move. You believe. In prayer, the believer is addressing someone. Prayer is the strength of the believer. That is where we are receiving our healing, our leading, our guidance, our direction by the Holy Ghost. Prayer is the place that we receive the leading of the Holy Ghost. Prayer is where we receive the guidance of the Holy Ghost. Prayer is where we receive the direction of the Holy Ghost. Every believer should have some kind of time every day with God in prayer. And I'm not saying going to God and saying, Father, Jesus, I need this, I need that, I need you to be here with me, and that's okay. But first we need to go to Him and saying, Father, I want to thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for me in giving of your life for me. Thank you. You might want to list some things that God has done and just thank Him again, or what He's doing on that, on your personal basis right now. As you thank Him, then you go into all the other things. But everybody should. You should. Now, I'm not saying you have to spend an hour in prayer or whatever, you know. And I'm talking about just some solitude time. It could be 15 minutes, 20 minutes. But you see, every one of us, to have a ministry of any kind in life, has to have a personal prayer time with God. Because you know what? Everybody has a ministry. Because all of us constantly witness about what Jesus has done for us. We need the leading and guidance of the Holy Ghost in our own personal lives to lift up and go to Him. Take some time. And I know throughout the day, honestly, I pray in tongues throughout the whole day. Just praying in tongues, Lord, help me with this or whatever. The infilling of the Holy Spirit. Some of you have not been filled with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about the initial speaking in, of the Holy Spirit coming in when you gave your life to Him. I'm talking about the overflow, as in Acts chapter 2 and 9 and 10. But being filled, you need to seek the Lord on that, saying, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with that prayer language. A prayer, Lord. God says, whoever shall hunger after me, I will give. Seek me and you shall find me. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. Receiving the leading, guidance, and direction of the Holy Spirit. In prayer, the believer is addressing someone who can do anything. Remember that. As you go to God in the morning, midnight, whatever time, it doesn't matter to me. You're addressing someone who can do anything in your life and in any situation, irrespective of the need, for with God all things are possible. My Lord, expect a great future. Be joyful in hope. Endure current difficulties. Be patient in affliction and rely on a great God. Be faithful in prayer. Be faithful in the things of God in your life, people. And you will see where God will move and do what you never thought was even possible. Because you see, this is what we want in our hands to transfer it into the hand of God. And all it takes is saying, this is your hand. Lord, I give you, and you name it. Lord, I give you. And look, it comes into the hands of God. You might have to do that every day about a situation, but that's okay. You keep doing it till finally it comes. Letting God take care of it. Just like the man was healed as he came down. Can you imagine what Jesus, everybody in there and Jesus seeing this coming down his bed, just coming down? Can you imagine as I was preaching this morning, all of a sudden we heard something on top of him going, oh Lord, what's going on? And all of a sudden we see chainsaws and everything else and somebody just being lowered right in front. Desperate measures sometimes makes us do desperate things. Sometimes we may need to be a little desperate so God can move in us, in our hearts and in our lives.